Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update. Hi, this is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to come on out and visit us this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton Ave. That's if you live in the Denver area. To give you an idea of the kinds of things we study at our church when it's a Bible church, so we study the Bible. And for example, let's say the death penalty. Many Christians are for the death penalty. Many others are against the death penalty. Well, think about this. In Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 19, God said, "Will you profane me?" Now, for the public school teachers tuning in right now, that means, like, will you insult me? Will you insult me, asks the Lord, keeping people who should not die, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live. Do you get that? God is asking, will you profane me, killing people who should not die, and keeping people alive who should not live? Like Terry Schiavo in Florida, she should not be killed. She shouldn't be starved to death. And those liberal Christians who want to blur the distinction between right and wrong, or liberals generally, and they want to kill Terry because, well, she's useless. She's not serving any function, so let's just starve her to death. God says, will you profane me? Are you insulting me by killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live? Now, who did he mean by keeping people alive who should not live? That's the ones who've been convicted of a capital crime. Terrorists, murderers. I had a young guy at our church this week say to me, liberals want to kill Terry Schiavo and unborn children who are innocent, and then they defend and they try to protect and save convicted murderers. I said, yeah, that's it exactly, isn't it? Isn't that exactly it? Liberals support killing the innocent and protecting the guilty. You see, and conservative right-wing Christians, we support killing the guilty murderers and protecting the innocent, children, handicapped people, and so on. And liberals, actually, they'll come up to us at some pro-life event where we're protesting against abortion. And they say, you're against abortion and you're for the death penalty? And we say, yeah, exactly. And they say, well, how could you be against abortion and for the death penalty? And we say to the liberal, because we believe in protecting the innocent and punishing the guilty. And then their mouth hangs open about an inch and a half. Sometimes they drool a little as they're trying to think what you just said. What? Protecting the innocent and killing, punishing the guilty. That's the Christian position. That's the correct position. It's wrong to kill the innocent and protect the guilty. That's wrong. When the guilty should be executed, God said, will you profane me, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live? So liberalism is profaning God. It's like shouting profanity at God. That's what it's like. And liberals, I had a neat Christian guy this past week who gave me a bit of a criticism, and he said he didn't like that I call liberals fools on the air. And, you know, I tried to say, although it wasn't going over well, but I tried to say, hey, in the Bible, it says that you're a fool if you don't believe in God. The fool says there is no God. So if someone is a fool, it's a Christian thing to do to let them know you are a fool. There is a God. Don't be a fool. Repent. Now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with the week.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And we've got stem cell researchers have another apparent success where they are growing cells that one day would be transplanted into the inner ear of a person who's deaf to give him hearing again, or perhaps for the first time. Now, one of the things we Christians, we're against killing babies and harvesting their body parts. We're against that. That's like what the Nazis did. That's like Dr. Mengele. It's like making lamps out of murder victims' skin and soap out of their body fat. It's sick. It's wicked to kill babies and then use their body parts. It's sick. It's evil. But in their opposition to stem cell research, pro-lifers, Christians, have gone too far at times and said, besides, stem cells don't help cure diseases or problems. And that's, hopefully, that argument will not be made anymore because it's a ridiculous argument. It's ridiculous. And at the very beginning of a new area of research, you're at the beginning. And then it takes time for that research to mature. So obviously, stem cell research will accomplish a lot, almost certainly. Perhaps things that are virtually miraculous, that appear to be miraculous. They won't be miraculous, but they'll be so dramatic they may appear that way. And stem cells could be taken from baby teeth that fall out. When a child's teeth falls out, from umbilical cords. There's all kinds of ways to get stem cells other than killing babies and harvesting their parts. So that needs to be the Christian position. We're not against stem cell research therapy. We're against killing babies and harvesting their parts. We're against killing babies at all for any reason. And the more economically beneficial you make it, the more wicked it all becomes. So we're against killing babies and harvesting their stem cells. Okay, let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Georgia. John, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. We certainly enjoy listening to you, but this is in reference to your show from last Thursday.
All right.
And I hate going back so far, but...
No, that's okay, John. We love it.
And it deals with respect for authority and for the government in particular.
All right. You're from... Hey, John, you're from Kennesaw, Georgia?
Kennesaw, Georgia is a famous Civil War battle here. But all you can do is get statues of Robert E. Lee. You can't find William Tecumseh Sherman anywhere down here.
Okay. All right. So, John, so last Thursday we talked about authority.
Yes.
So go ahead. What's the question?
And we certainly don't have any disagreement at all about authority of government. And as Christ has said to Pilate that he had no authority over him except that which he had given him.
Yeah, good point.
So clearly, it's biblical, but thinking.
Hey,
well,
John.
The American Revolution?
Hey, John. Okay, let's get to that. But just first, let's reinforce that point for those who didn't hear the show last week, that all authority originates with God.
Yes.
God created angels and human beings, and He's delegated authority, and He's issued authority. So that now he's created powers and principalities and authorities, and he's created parents. He's given us the ability to reproduce, and he's allowed his authority to flow through the parents toward the children so that parents naturally have authority over their kids.
Excellent point.
Right.
Yes.
And the same thing is true of governments. God established government, and authority flows from God through government to the people. So now your question, which is a great question, which is how about the American War of Independence?
Exactly.
How about that? Was it right or wrong? Since it is wrong to take up arms against your government. That's wrong. That's not just. And so in, you called it, I think you called it the American Revolutionary War.
Yes.
And I called it the American War of Independence.
Correct.
And there is, among right-wing Christians, there is a movement that makes a distinction between those two, in that revolution, rebellion and revolution are not just. You can't justify, for example, the French Revolution and the way the French slaughtered those in power and authority, the wealthy. They slaughtered business owners, bakers, butchers, and the streets just were flowing with blood.
Right.
And so some people in the country took power from other people in the country because they didn't like the way the country was being run.
Correct.
And that's wrong. Even King David, even though he was authorized by God and anointed by God to be the next king, and even though King Saul was a murderer and was trying to kill David, David would not lift his hand against Saul. Even though he had the opportunity to kill him, he didn't, and he honored the authority structure that came from God. And even though David was pretty messed up in a lot of ways, overall, God said, David is a man after my own heart, and God and Jesus Christ really loved David.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, and the reason that I and some others call it the War of Independence is because of this. Let's say the people in Georgia didn't like the way the federal government was going, and they had some valid gripes. So do you take up your guns and go and begin to shoot and kill mayors, governors, senators, presidents, because you want your own country? No, that's rebellion. It's evil. On the other hand, the Bible says in the book of Acts that God tells us about the boundaries of nations, that notion of nations comes from God. And it's the same thing with families. God tells us what a family is and what a nation is. The boundaries of nations is something that interests God. And so the homosexuals think you could just redefine a family to be two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. That's not a family. Two guys, homosexuals, is not a family. And in the same way, nations are real. For example, let's say that a mom and a dad, they have a few kids, and the one kid has grown up, they've raised him, now he's 19, 20, 21 years old, and he wants to have his own life, and the parents will not let him have his own life. The parents will not let him have his own life, and they insist on controlling him. Well, that's wrong. It's unnatural. He has the right to be independent because he's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same vein, nations spawn children, as with colonies. And if nations establish colonies far across an ocean, and those colonies grow up, and they have their own culture, their own language practically, their own laws, their own heritage, their own natural geographic boundaries, then it would be wise for that the countries that originally established colonies to look at it and say, you know what, our kids have grown up. In fact, these now are nations in their own right, and we cannot control them because America is it's a separate nation. And so we fought our War of Independence because the British were truly a different nation, and they didn't have the right to control us. We grew up. Whereas if some people in America don't like what the government's doing and they want to raise a militia army and start shooting federal workers, that's rebellion. That's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our War of Independence was just because we truly were a separate nation. We grew up. And just like a child who's now in his 20s and has the right to be independent from his parents in the decisions that he makes, for example, so do nations as nations grow up. And nations are real things. You can't just make believe that nations are anything you want them to be. And quite often, liberals, they think they could just manipulate nations and say, okay, let's make a country, let's call it Iraq, and let's put the Kurds in with Sunnis and Shiites. Let's make a country and call it Afghanistan. And so we try to do it, and generally we create decades or generations or centuries of misery. So that's
a very good point, but I, if I'm following along with what you said here about the formation of a nation, then it was a war of a nation against another nation.
Right.
And apparently even England might have agreed to that, because look what happened, how they treated the Canadians and the Australians when they wanted their independence.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, we might have been able, if we were wiser, to accomplish the same thing without the war, but hindsight is 2020, and it was just, it's justifiable for us to exert our independence.
Well, plus, that had never been done before. It was really kind of a new idea.
Well, I've got to think about that one. You may be right, and I'm not right off the bat. Nothing's coming to mind. But are you saying throughout history there had never been a colony that fought for its independence?
To my knowledge, no. The colonies had always been founded for the economic gain of the founder, and they were loath to let it go. And usually the only time that changed hands is when another power took over the colony. I'm thinking of the Carthaginians and the Phoenicians,
so
with
going,
their colonies. And
so going way, way back into world history, even the Sumerian Empire and the Medes and the Persians and the Babylonians and Assyrians and the Egyptians and all these empires. So, well, that's a very interesting observation. I'd like to think through that. But, John, that's my answer, in that America, not everything we did early on was righteous or just. We did plenty of things, as every nation in the world. Israel, every nation in the world has done plenty of evil things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we did too. And but separating from Britain was not one of the evil things we did. It was completely justified.
That was, you know, my point, because at some point, you know, when as you say, another nation imposes its will unjustly,
right?
Then that's ammunition to go.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Now in Hawaii, there's a movement, a sovereignty movement in Hawaii, where Native Hawaiians want to reassert the monarchy, and there's still the palace of the previous king in Honolulu, and they want to take Hawaii back.
Huh.
And they say Hawaii is their right, and that their king Kamehameha, if that's how you pronounce it, he had control. He was the one who unified all the Hawaiian islands. That's how the native Hawaiians say it. Another way of saying it is he killed the kings of all the outlying islands, and he consolidated power through brutal tyranny. That's another way of saying it.
Yeah.
So did that king have the right to rule the Hawaiian Islands? America, we didn't have the right. We manipulated the situation. We didn't kill anyone. But now we're in control of the Hawaiian Islands. If you want to go through every nation of the world, or even your own nation, and say, well, let's give it back to who rightly deserves it, where do you go?
Right.
What nation in the world has not been evil?
Yeah.
What peoples? You know, the American Indians, the tribes of Native of American Indians, they, you know, routinely slaughtered one another. And that was a bloodthirsty society.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't have the notion of land ownership that comes with the biblical worldview of the Judeo-Christian heritage. And so they suffered, nomadic tribes suffer at the hands of people who are civilized, because they have no conception of, well, let's work the land and harvest from the land and own and improve the land. No, they have maybe 3,000 people, and do they want 500,000 acres because they ride through once every 8 years? That's not reasonable. So there's the conflict of different cultures has also been a painful aspect of human history.
Yeah.
John, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Bob, and God bless you, and I hope you keep spreading the word for the long, long time to come.
All right. Well, with your encouragement, we'll be on another day.
All right.
Thank you,
John. Take care, sir.
God bless you. I appreciate that. That's neat and encouraging. All right. So authority and authority flow and stem cell research. Right? Now, think about that. Those are two of the issues we've talked about so far on the show, and they're based on biblical principles. And that's what we do here at Bob and Yurt Live. We talk about the issues of the day, controversial issues, and moral, spiritual issues, political, legal, historical, linguistic, scientific, whatever it is that is important in our lives. And so stem cell research, you don't kill the innocent to harvest their body parts. You kill the guilty and you protect the innocent. Authority? Well, authority flows downhill from God. And even David would not usurp authority over King Saul, even though David was the next anointed leader of the government. And the previous leader was a murderer. Okay, what else is in the news? Let's see, Howard Dean. You know, I just despise all the news about the Democratic primary candidates, or the ones running for the nomination of their party for president next year. I just despise all that. It's just so overblown in the media, this constant droning of comparing these Democratic candidates. And Howard Dean, he's the front runner. And I just, not only is everything he says is evil, and it's a sin to vote for a Democrat anyway, but I don't like the Republicans either. But Howard Dean, I just can't get over the way he looks. The next time you see Howard Dean on TV, just turn on a cable news channel. It'll take you about 3.5 minutes before they'll show his picture. He looks like he has a 2x4 shoved down the back of his shirt into his pants, and it's bolted into his neck. That's what he looks like to me. Somebody should take a picture of him and put some Frankenstein bolts coming out of his neck. And that's what he looks like to me. He's just a crack up, his looks. So now I thought John was done, but he had one more comment. John, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I forgot to ask. When are you going to be coming out live on the internet so we can listen real time?
Well, that's kind of you to ask. We did that for a couple years, and we stopped doing it because of the cost. And now we stopped doing it, I think it was 2 years ago or so. And we don't have a large staff here, so I've not looked into it since then to see if we could do it more economically. So one of the guys who helps us with our web work, Joe Rosano in Indiana, I'll ask Joe if he could look into that and see what it would cost us to resume that.
Thank you very much, Bob.
With your suggestion. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. All right. Okay. So Howard Dean. So much for Howard Dean. What else is going on here? Oh, yeah. A public school teacher in California had her students assume they were drug addicts and calculate how much it would cost to buy whatever kinds of drugs they were addicted to, crack, marijuana, cocaine. And she said it would help to discourage them because it's expensive. And actually, kids love to take on the role and to role play doing things that are wrong. So it might teach them how much it costs, but it'll actually help them figure out, wow, what does it cost to get a hit of crack or ecstasy? What if I want to buy ecstasy for a party next summer? How much will it cost? And so they find out anyway, but for the teacher to lead them down that path is just an example, a minor example of the foolishness that's so common in the public schools. All right, what else do we have? Yeah, it's like the whole DARE program. DARE, right? DARE, run by the police nationwide. One of my dear friends, Christian Mann, joined the police department 15 years ago. And for years, he's been the DARE officer. And I've only talked about it with him once or twice. But I said to my friend, I said, now, because I'm against the DARE program, why would I be against the DARE program? Well, whatever it is, I'm against it. From the moment I commenced it, I've been against it. No, why would I be against the DARE program? Because it doesn't work. How do we know that it doesn't work? It doesn't work. And we know it doesn't work. But how do we know? Well, if it did work, we would know. We'd have the statistics. For example, in the schools that have DARE programs, the kids are 40% less likely to become addicted to drugs or to use drugs or to binge drink alcohol. And there are no such statistics like that. DARE does not work. It doesn't work. The schools, the districts that have DARE have the same drug use as the schools that don't. Doesn't work. And so if it doesn't work, does that mean then it's just a neutral? It's just neutral. It's not bad. It's not good. No, it doesn't mean that. Because of all the resources, the huge effort put into DARE, and people think they're actually doing something, and they're not actually doing something. So whatever the real answer is for kids becoming drug addicts, committing suicide, overdosing, flunking out in school, becoming losers, girls getting pregnant because they're high on ecstasy, whatever the real solution to those problems is, we're not going to find it because we're diverted to thousands, tens of thousands of schools with their DARE programs. And they keep a lot of cops busy and a lot of people raising funds. And the whole bureaucracy keeps on churning, but it doesn't work. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. Did I say that? Did I say it doesn't work? It doesn't work. DARE doesn't work. So, all right, what else do we have here? What else is in the news? We have some rapper. I don't know who this guy is. His name in the headline here of this article, his name is P. Diddy. P. Diddy. I don't even know. That's a name. I guess that's the name. Diddy. P. I don't know what the P stands for. Paul. Paul Diddy has a line of clothes. And the media now is all over him because the clothes, the P. Diddy clothing line, they're made in Honduras. Now, for the public school teachers tuning in right now, Honduras. Think about where is Honduras. Think about that. Where is Honduras? I'm tempted to let them look it up. I'll let them look it up. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. The P. Diddy clothing line they're accusing P. Diddy, this rapper, of having his clothing that he sells in this country made in Honduras in sweatshop labor houses, in sweatshops, where people are overworked and underpaid, and it's just not right. And if you think through that, right? In what we call sweatshops in other countries where people work long, hard hours and they don't get paid all that much, like if Nike or Reebok or some shoemaker's got shoes being made in the Far East and they put out an ad, there's 20 job openings and 3,000 people apply. And we say, well, they're mistreating the people. They're not paying them enough. Well, then why did 3,000 people apply? Bob Enyart, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Have you seen the video titled Video Fruitcake? Now, that video is funny. And Christmas is coming up. So what you do is you get the video and you treat it very carefully so people can't tell it's worn or used. And you watch it once. you crack up, maybe you watch it twice, and then you give it to someone as a gift for Christmas. So you get to enjoy the gift, and then you figure out who would enjoy this. And you give them a copy of Video Fruitcake. It's funny. It's a great gift idea. It's $24.95. It's just callers into the show, the TV show, back when Bob and Your Life was on TV. It's funny, the video titled Video Fruitcake. Hilarious liberal callers, a great gift idea, and it's one of our many videos. Most of our videos we've produced in-house. Some are third-party videos, but Video Fruitcake, just great. And good for a gift for Christmas. What else do we have? The Trouble with Lawyers. That's Bob versus the Publicans. And then Planets, Stars, and the Bible. Oh, is that interesting. And Amy's Call. Ooh. Amy said she was good enough to get to heaven. Oh, yeah, and she's on her own. Oh, yeah, and she slept around. She had a kid out of wedlock. But no problem. I'm good enough to get to heaven. And we ended the show, her call, when she used a filthy, just vulgar language. And guess what? Amy eventually got saved, called back in a year later. And how did it happen? What was working in her heart that year that brought her to the point where she got saved? Well, check out that video, Amy's Call. You'll love it, and it'll give you insight into some of the other biblical tactics for how to witness, how to evangelize, how to get people saved, tactics that are not commonly used by Christians. It's fun, so give us a call, 888-8-N-YARD. All right, so the workers down in Honduras are subject to 11 to 12-hour daily shifts. Now, subject to 11 to 12-hour daily shifts? I've got friends who are well off. They've succeeded in life. And if they had to work 11 hours a day, that would almost feel like they were on vacation. Some of them did that for 40 years. Now, my typical day, I don't know, right now it's 7:33 Mountain Time, and when the show gets over at 8, it takes us a half hour, 45 minutes to get the website updated, everything loaded there. I've got an hour to an hour and a half counseling session, so 10 o'clock or so at night. And this morning, I had to leave the studio at 6:30 this morning in order to pick up two guys for a recording session that we did this morning. So 6:30 this morning and get done tonight about 9:30. So what's that? I can't add. That's 15 hours. That's a somewhat normal day. 12 hours, 15 hours. So here are people in poverty, and they're subjected to 11 to 12-hour daily shifts. They're subjected to that, and they're paid 24 cents for each $50 shirt that they sew. So what? What does that mean? So if you sew 10 shirts, you got $2.40. What's the difference if it's a $50 shirt or a $50 million shirt? If somebody sews a seat cover for a $50 million jet, does that mean they should get $5,000 for the seat cover? It doesn't matter. What if they were sewing shirts that were $5? It doesn't matter. It's what are they offered? How many people? If no one wants the job, then that's real evidence that the job is not worth it. But typically, when we identify what we call a sweatshop, you go to that country, and if they advertise that they're going to hire 50 people, they get 2,000 applicants. And so what that tells you is that 24 cents per shirt is good wages in Honduras. And we could artificially inflate their wages, and we could say, oh, you could afford to pay them $2 per shirt. So we pay them $2 per shirt. And the people then who make those shirts, they become the wildly wealthy in their communities. And so the people who sell milk only want to sell the milk to this new class of wildly wealthy people, because the milk used to be 40 cents a gallon and now it's 95 cents a gallon because some people could afford it. And you thought you were doing a good thing, but you messed up the natural growth of their economy. And you meant well, but lacking wisdom, lacking a real concern for these people, you just want to feel good about yourself. So it's sort of like traveling and getting in a taxi cab in some foreign city where there's a lot of poverty. And the taxi cab driver, he doesn't make a lot of money, but he's better off than most in his city. And you want to give him a $50 tip, because for you, $50 is not much, and it'll really make his day. And you know what? It will make his day. But then the next fare that wants to give him a $1 tip or a $2 tip or an 80 cent tip, because it's a lot, he's going to despise them because you gave him a $50 tip. And he'll want to manipulate others and mistreat others unless they pay up. And so there are consequences to actions. So anyway, when you've got people clamoring to get a job that liberals say is there's something immoral with offering the job and the paycheck, you know something is wrong. All right, what else? What else? And if Honduras really needs economic activity, and if a lot of textile work could move to Honduras, Cholma, Honduras is the town, Cholma, that would be wonderful for Honduras. And if they're making 24 cents a shirt, praise the Lord. In 6 months, they'll probably be making 25 cents a shirt. And someday Hondurans will start to build their own factories and make their own clothing and offer them themselves. And that country will come to life instead of being so poverty-stricken. I just washed my mouth. I can't do a thing with it. All right. So 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right. What else do we have here? In fact, there's an article. You know, what does the Bible have to do with economics? Well, quite a lot. Quite a lot. There's a website called straightistheway.com. Straight is the way. And it's a Santa Clarita Bible Baptist Church, and it's their website. And if I recall, there's an article about economics. I wish I could find it right off the bat. I just went to the website. Let's see. Property rights, economics 101, God's law and biblical. Let's see. Is there a Christian perspective on the economy, economic? Yeah, maybe I could find it here. It's in here somewhere. But there's this great article about what Jesus said on paying people different rates. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 20? Let's see. Let me see if I could find this. Now, you shouldn't do this live on the air. You shouldn't just go find a website. But maybe someone will call in and tell us where to find that article on this great website, straightistheway.com. In fact, just telling you about that is totally worthwhile. Straightistheway.com. I'm searching the website. I wish I could find it. It's such a great website. All right. It'll come. Maybe later in the show we'll have it. Okay. Straightistheway.com. About if your employer wants to pay someone else more money than he pays to you for the same work, what should your attitude be? Should you be envious? Should you say, it's not fair? He's paying me $8 an hour, and he's paying that guy $10 an hour, and we do the same work. Should you be envious? No. Well, look at this. There's an article on this website called Judge Rightly. Ha, that's probably a good one. Oh, there's another article called Nicer Than God. Whoa. Uh-oh. There's another article called The Pastor Qualification Quiz. Wow. This looks excellent, this place. And the Arafat free, the Arafat free diet, and the animal's right to be eaten. I think there's a typo there. This is really funny. This website is just great. Have you checked it out? All right. It's called straightistheway.com. Okay. So we'll leave that and we'll get back to the show now. All right. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Now, here's a story from Los Angeles where California is, if it's not falling into the ocean, but after this fire, its cinders will be blowing into the ocean for years to come. There's a school custodian, a janitor, Tom Rose, in San Bernardino, California, and he's using binoculars and he's looking at the flames that are raging toward his own home. And in California, there's a lot of evidence that some of the fires were started by arsonists unintentionally. And he said, whoever did this, and he lowers his lens and shakes his head. He says, whoever did this, I say, bring him down here and have a public lynching. And this is reported on KABC TV in Los Angeles, Channel 7 News. And yeah, a chaplain with the fire department in Redlands, California, said when there is arson, it just complicates the whole grieving process. Your suffering becomes rage because someone did this to you. And that is so absolutely true. And how many acres have burned now? It's 500,000 acres. Isn't it 500, half a million acres have burned? And how many homes have burned so far? The number of homes, I think, has been, well, let's see, let's look on the Drudge Report. But has it been 1,550 homes so far? 1,550 homes? How many people have been killed? 600,000 acres have been burned. 1,572 homes destroyed. Two of the huge California fires threatened to merge to become one fire. How's that for a disaster? And how many people have died now? Is it 15 people have died? So arsonists, any arsonists who've started these, the penalty should be death. Bob Enyard here, and let me tell you about the Plot manuscript, the Plot Bible study album on audio tape or on MP3, CD-ROM. It is so cool to study the Bible, and we've been doing it for quite a few years here at Bob Enyard Live, and we've been recording it about one study a week or so, and seminars we've done around the country, probably 60 seminars, something like that. And we've done The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. That's a seminar. We have it on audio tape. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what happened with that tree, and the legacy of that tree in your life today. How does that tree directly affect your daily life? It will blow you away, that seminar. It is so much fun. And then what other seminars do we have? We have Predestination and Free Will. That is a fun seminar. So much fun to study the Bible. And on all our materials, we have a 30-day money-back guarantee. So it's relatively painless to try out our studies. And if you're not thrilled, If you haven't learned a lot, if you don't love it, please ask for your money back. Because we're not trying to get money from people who, you know, feel like, oh, they didn't get their money's worth. If you don't love the Bible study that you're doing with us, then cancel your subscription to the monthly Bible study album, or return the album or the manuscript or the video. So at Bob and Yart Live, that's been our policy forever. And we're thrilled that almost never do people ask for their money back. Because when you focus for years on a serious Bible study, you can do it, and it's fun. And we do it with a lot of people around the country. And especially for those here in Denver, you guys could come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning, Sunday night. So call us, 800-8-N-YART. Here we are back at Bob and Yart Live, and our phone number is 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And, hey, this website, straightistheway.com, there's a table of contents in there. That's pretty handy, where on one page they've got all their articles, and there's a lot of stuff. Biblical Economics 101, Tony Robinson's Notes on Economics, Proper and Improper Models of Giving in Today's Churches, Introduction to God's Word on Private Property, Biblical Economics, a Reading List. That's all pretty cool. All right, let's see. Boy, I am frustrated that I can't find that article. That article was on this website just a couple weeks ago, and I saw it, and I thought, what a great article. And so I just came back there to check it out, and it would have fit into what we were talking about, and I can't find it. Well, if ever I do, I'll try to bring it to you during another show. All right. So let's get back. Okay, so that's straightistheway.com. You've got to check out that website. It's just a fabulous website. Okay. Now, we've got George W. Bush, who said today that he will sign the law that bans partial birth abortion. This is what he said. This is reported by Reuters today. He said, yes, I'll sign the ban on partial birth abortion, and no, I don't think the culture has changed to the extent that the American people or the Congress would totally ban abortions. Who asked you, Mr. President? Who asked you? What are you talking about? Yes, I'll sign the ban on partial birth abortion, and next, we need to work toward outlawing all killing of innocent children. That's what he should have said. Yes, I'll sign the ban on partial birth abortion. And yes, we are going to work to stop the killing of innocent children in America. That's what he should have said. Who asked him this question? He's just trying to let liberals know, look, you don't have much to worry about me. I'm not a zealot when it comes to killing unborn children. I'm a pro-lifer to get votes and money from pro-life voters and supporters. And as far as me fighting to protect innocent life, don't worry. I'm not going to do that. It's definitely not my goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. He said that. You've heard that, pro-life Christians? Yeah, George W. Bush has said that. It's not his goal to overturn Roe v. Wade. So, and now I guess pro-life Christians think that when he said that, he was lying. But with all the pro-abortion judges he's appointed in his career, doesn't seem like he's lying. But yes, I'll sign the ban on partial birth abortion. And no, I don't think the American people or Congress would totally ban abortions. Who asked you? What's with that? It's like Abraham Lincoln, you know, freeing some slaves and saying, well, no, we're not ready to free others. That's wrong. It's like in Nazi Germany. Well, we want to protect some Jews, but really the culture is not quite to where we can really fight to save all Jews. So just accept it. We're going to be killing some Jews for the next 10 years. We'll save a few here. We'll save these 800 a year and a million and a half a year that we're killing. The culture's just not come around to doing anything about that yet. What kind of stupid drivel is that? It's just ignorant. It angers me. It's angering. Yes, I'll sign the ban on partial birth abortion. And no, I don't think we're ready to stop all abortions. Who asked you, Mr. President? Who asked you? You just want to let pro-aborts know that you're their guy because you're not really, you're not a radical on this issue. It's despicable. All right. And, you know, conservatives, that we were so upset at Bill Clinton and Republicans because of how he acted and how what a terrible role model he was, how badly he mistreated women. And now the same people, even like Sean Hannity, who's supposedly a conservative Christian, fights for, argues for, supports, defends Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's about as bad as Bill Clinton as far as a lifetime of mistreating women terribly. And yet the same people who criticize Clinton in that way support Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you see, what the Republican Party and our conservative talk show host, it's not principles. It's politics. It's pragmatic. They want a Republican as governor of California, and the fact that he spent his life sexually mistreating women, really in despicable ways, even from not only from the women who've accused him, from his own testimony, his own mouth, of the despicable things he's done in interviews where he was bragging about it, bragging. And so despicable what he's done. And so imagine young kids who are growing up, and now the Republican Party and Sean Hannity and others, and I like Sean Hannity, but they've got their way, and Arnold is now, with their support, the governor of California. And so young Christian men and women will learn the same lesson from the Republicans that was taught by the Clinton Democrats, that you can become the most filthy person and still get the approval of millions, including conservative Christians, will still support you. It doesn't matter if you treat women like filth. That's the message that conservative Christians who've supported Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, are sending to young Christians. And it's bizarre. It's wrong. Our whole society is broken. Things are so utterly out of control. What happened last month in Los Angeles? Just an example of how things are so broken. Remember there was a game, San Francisco Giants versus the L.A. Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers. And a Dodgers fan, an L.A. Dodgers fan, shot and killed a San Francisco Giants fan after an argument in the parking lot after a game. This 25-year-old guy of Covina, California, was shot in the chest about 10 o'clock Friday, 10 in the evening, as he headed for his car. He was taken to a hospital, pronounced dead. And the Giants had just won 6-4, and people were leaving Dodger Stadium when a group of San Francisco fans jeered This guy, who probably replied in some way, and he gets shot. And the gunman fled after the shooting. Cops searched the 16,000 car parking lot for hours, but made no arrests. The police didn't have a description of the suspect or his car. Neither baseball team had commented. But what a tragedy. That's just the symptom, right? I've thought for years that with murder becoming so mainstream, like we have celebrities and sports people who become murderers. Isn't that weird? Some stars, you wonder, their wives die in suspicious circumstances, and it looks like they killed their wives. O.J. Simpson. And what I'm fearing is that one of these days, we're going to have a fan kill a player on the field because he doesn't like how a game is going. I even hate to say that. I've been thinking that for 10 years. And you don't like to say it in public to give people ideas, but, you know, the liberals don't listen to this show. So I think it's safe. But that's where we're heading. We're heading to where we're mainstreaming murder, immorality, theft, wickedness. It's all mainstream. Who's that tennis player who got stabbed? I don't remember. Monica Seles or something like that? Is that her name? And how about that figure skater who had her leg broke? Who was that? That was, I'm not a fan of these sports. But figure skating would be great if it wasn't filled with homosexual guys. Other than that, it'd be great. And women's tennis would be good without all the lesbians in it. Professional golf, the LPGA. Back when, I remember when I started on the air 12 years ago, the few times the LPGA would come up and we'd say that it was all lesbians practically, and liberals would get so mad that we were saying that. How dare we? And today they admit it, that they're all lesbians. So back then, it was obvious, but you couldn't say it. Today, they admit it. So see where we've come in 12 years? So the country's broken. The culture's broken. Everything's messed up. People, even Christians who fight to accomplish things, so often are fighting to do something that's counterproductive. So how do we figure it all out? Well, we go to the Bible. And we don't take the Bible casually. We study it. We study it to show ourselves approved workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Well, study the Bible with us, or study it on your own one way or another, but study it. You know, you got to study the Bible so you're not ashamed. Because you could be active your whole life and half the time be counterproductive and fighting for causes that even if you succeeded, the world would be no better off. Because is it really biblical what you're trying to accomplish? And do you know? If you're an activist, if you're fighting for some law, some effort, some project, some group, what they're standing for, is it biblical? Oh, well, I don't know. I assume the Republicans proposed it. That's not the standard of right and wrong. So together we study the Bible and we get serious about it. And I look forward to tomorrow night's show. Until then, this is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.